Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text from the Gospel reading, Jesus said, "Love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." This is our text. I once heard of a man who suffered deeply. This man suffered deeply because he was plotted against by his and betrayed by his closest companions. The people who should have loved him and cared for him most stabbed him in the back without any remorse or second thoughts. And those same people, when they could have come clean, they chose to make up a story to cover their tracks, and others believed it. Meanwhile, that betrayed guy suffered quite a few twists and turns in his life. He was enslaved. He had false accusations thrown against him. He ended up unjustly imprisoned. Every time you thought that he'd hit rock bottom, things got even worse. He was used and humiliated, forgotten by those he befriended, and mistreated over and over again. Until one day his life took a radical change for the better. It wasn't luck, it wasn't fate, it wasn't even hard work, it was God, divine providence. With the Lord's help, this suffering man came into a position of great authority. Whatever he said, it was done. And then came the moment that he'd probably been dreaming about. The very people who betrayed him decades earlier now stood in front of him. The tables were turned, and this time their lives were in his hands. Even better, they didn't recognize him, but he knew who they were. How could he forget all that they'd done to him? And what would you do if you were in his shoes? What if that moment you dreamed about came true? What if that person or those people stood in front of you now and they finally had to answer for what they've said or done, for the misery and the sleepless nights that they've caused? What if you could pay them back without their ever knowing that it was you? Would you ask God to punish him? To destroy her? Would you do to them as they've done to you? That person who cheated you? The one who lied about you? The guy who took credit for your work? The gal who spread gossip about you? Or how about that dude who dented your car and then just drove off? Oh, sweet revenge. Our culture would tell us to give it back just like we received it. Turnabout's fair play. With the measure you received, measure it back to them. And maybe a little more on top for interest. We've been taught to stand up for ourselves. From the playground to the water cooler, ain't no one gonna push me around. You can't just let people walk all over you. If you want others to respect you, you've got to respect yourself. Learn to set boundaries. Say no, right? Otherwise, you'll be taken advantage of. And everyone assumes that being taken advantage of, being played for a fool, being treated with disrespect, being the object of hatred, or simply being dismissed, is the ultimate failure in life. Jesus says otherwise. He knows differently. You heard it already in the gospel reading this morning. He offers a vision for his disciples and for the church that is very different than the vision of the world. What is it? Quite simply, he calls his disciples to love their enemies. And he describes this in concrete detail. Listen again to what he teaches. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic, your inner garment either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. His kingdom is not of this world. If you love those who love you, he says, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. When I hear those words, I simply cry out, but that's impossible, Lord. You've got to be exaggerating there. No one can do that. And we're right. This is impossible for sinners. We sinners know how to love those who love us. We know how to do good to those who do good to us. That's called quid pro quo. You do something for me, and I'll do something for you. But to love, to truly love our enemies, we don't have that in us. To be offered a moment of sweet revenge and use it to forgive? No way. Who in their right mind would do that? Jesus. That's who. And you know, some of the people did accuse him of being out of his mind, but in fact, he was the only one who was in his right mind. It's the rest of the world that's insane. It's the rest of the world that's crazy. Everyone else has forgotten what it really means to live. And that includes us. We think that living means living for ourselves. But Jesus says that's not life. That's death. Jesus was hated, cursed, beaten, abused, mistreated, stripped, abandoned, and crucified. St. Peter describes what he went through in his suffering and death in his first letter. He says it like this: "For to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he didn't threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." What do you think the hardest thing was? What do you think was the hardest thing that our Lord ever had to do? Was it looking at those who had driven the railroad spikes into his wrists and his feet, and instead of saying, "Curse them," saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? I think that was probably the hardest thing he ever did. And there we see his suffering is the triumph of God's love. He is the Son of the Most High, and so he, like his Father, is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. He shows mercy, even as his Father in heaven is merciful. those who put him on the cross. Jesus here is a window into the heart of the Trinity. In him we see not the wrath of God, but the love and mercy of the Father. And then after his suffering, he came into a position of great authority. He rose from the dead, the first fruits of those who are made alive. But his resurrection was no revenge tour. This wasn't, I've come back and now you're going to get it. He didn't hunt them down to pay them back. Now, true, he did corner St. Peter one time on a beach. St. Peter, who denied him three times. But he cornered Peter only to restore him to the flock and to the office of pastor. He didn't say to Peter, I'm done with you forever. He said, feed my sheep. And there was that moment on the road to Damascus when he appeared to St. Paul, the enemy and persecutor of the church. And what did he do to St. Paul? He made him an apostle. Jesus does just what he said on the cross. He forgives. God's love is powerful. And in the resurrection, Jesus has overcome cursing and abuse and even death itself. That doesn't make it easy, of course. We can't just nod our heads and agree that loving our enemies is a good idea. This is something to be lived every day of every month, of every year. And how is that even possible? Only with a new life. Only with wounds healed by him. Only because Jesus is the one who clears the path for us to follow. It starts with his prayer on the cross. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. And who is he talking about? He's talking about us. Revenge isn't God's proper work. His proper work, what comes naturally to our God, is to be kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Your Father is merciful. He's merciful to you still. And he's merciful to you today. Why, he gives you the bread of peace and the cup of mercy, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't hold your sins against you. So now what becomes of all your dreams of revenge? What will you do with the hurts that you nurse and the grudges you bear? How will you pray for your enemies and bless those who've cursed you? Will you follow the advice of the world? Or will you look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith? St. Paul tells us what to do. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We love because he first loved us. We bless because he first blesses us. We give because he first gave to us. We turn the other cheek because he turned the other cheek first. We pray for others because he first prayed for us. We forgive because he first forgave us. And he forgives us still. So what happened to that man whom I told you about in the beginning? The man who'd suffered greatly and then came into a position of authority in which he could exact revenge on those who'd hurt him. What did he do when the brothers who sold him into slavery stood within his power? What was his sweet revenge? Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near, I guarantee you, quaking in their boots. And he said, I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. God sent me here to preserve life. It was not you who sent me here, but God. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. He provided for them, and he fed them, and he forgave them, and he heaped burning coals of love on their heads. He was merciful. Why? Because he couldn't forget all that God had done. And neither can we. Neither can we. In Jesus' name. Amen.